Well, now to the scrutiny that our banking and financial services sectors will face in the coming months, in lieu maybe of a Royal Commission, though that remains to be seen. The Turnbull government, just to recap, has announced two inquiries to investigate the treatment of small business and a bank victims tribunal. And the government will now require bank heads to appear once a year before the House of Representatives to face questions. By bringing in these changes, the government may have managed to thwart Labor's popular push for a Royal Commission, but it's early days in the life of this turbulent Parliament and Labor shows no signs of backing down. One of our listeners, Philip, took me to task after an interview a couple of weeks back about banking, suggesting I'd clearly never been through what a lot of people experience and complain so bitterly about. I have, he said, and it took me the best part of 6 years to rectify a period of considerable distress. So, what might come next, both in terms of attitudes inside and outside the financial sector? Joining me now are two men from different sides of the argument about the worth of something as serious as a Royal Commission into banks. Senator John Williams from the Nationals, he's been one of the key backers. But opposed is Kevin Davis, the Research Director of the Australian Centre for Financial Studies and Professor of Finance at Melbourne and Monash Universities. He was a member of the Australian Financial System Inquiry, better known as the Murray Review, in 2014. Welcome to you both.
Thank you. Very good.
Thanks, Geraldine.
I'd just like you both to almost refresh these arguments. I mean, John Williams, you've waged a long-term crusade against banking malpractice. Do you think there should still be a Royal Commission, or are these new inquiries going to be enough?
Geraldine, we are making progress, but look, for 7 years I've called for a Royal Commission, not specifically into the banks, but into white-collar crime in general, where we've had bad financial products, bad financial advisors, we've had Ponzi schemes and phoenixing and fraud and forgery. And even today I'm working with ASIC on issues where one person is believed to have had $60 million invested with him and we can't find any of the money. I'm saying not only the banks, but white-collar crime in general, and that's what I've pushed for years.
Yes, but my feeling was that you were going for the banks in particular. Are you pulling back from that now, are you?
No, certainly not. But we've done a lot of, with the inquiries I've pushed, for example, inquiry into ASIC that I put forward a few years ago now. I strongly recommended a Royal Commission into the Commonwealth Financial Planning then with all the wrongdoings there. Thankfully, we've had 600,000 Australians written to customers of Commonwealth Bank and Macquarie Bank to have their files reviewed, their financial planning files and their investments, making some progress there. What I'm saying is we should have done this years ago. We're now putting steps in the right direction, and a Royal Commission, although it would be of benefit in my opinion, we've done a lot of the work so far in relation to financial planning, whistleblowers, the culture in the bank, the code of conduct is now being drawn up. Geraldine, I want to look at life insurance, and next week when we get back to Canberra, I intend to launch an inquiry into the life insurance industry, especially in relation to your superannuation, where you just automatically get life insurance.
Mm. In fact, I think the public submissions to that closed yesterday, didn't they, for that big life insurance inquiry?
No, not as yet. Because the election was called, the inquiry I'd launched at the terms of reference I amended with the scrutiny of financial advisors, that inquiry is now dead. So I've got to wait for the relaunching of the Joint Committee on Corporation Financial Services, and I'll launch an inquiry next week. I've worked with Kelly O'Dwyer on this, and she certainly backed it, and my colleagues, and we want to look at the life insurance industry, especially after the Fairfax Four Corners story with Adele Ferguson in relation to life insurance, but many, many bad stories in relation to people who automatically get life insurance, Geraldine, with their superannuation and payments not being made for some, what I call wicked excuses.
Now, Kevin Davis, I think you have a different point of view about all this. Am I right?
I think there's certainly much scope and much value in investigating issues of unethical behaviour, not just in the financial sector, not just in the banks, but also across the financial sector and more generally white-collar crime, as the Senator has mentioned. I just don't think that a Royal Commission is, in a sense, the best way to go. Royal Commissions can be of two sorts, sort of inquisitorial, trying to dig up skeletons, find instances of wrongdoing and so on. I think ASIC can do that if it's appropriate.
Which has been funded better. This is part of the suite of measures. Mm.
And I think it would be a lot less costly and would have as much effect. The other sort of issue is Royal Commissions can be, but not generally, are sort of policy-oriented, looking forward and trying to identify good types of policies. And I think that's probably the most important area is looking ahead, what do we need to do to try and ensure good behaviour in the financial sector, find ways for customers who feel they're aggrieved to get swift and speedy resolution and so on. And I think that's becoming even more important with the technological changes going on. FinTech is just going to change the whole nature of the industry and raise a whole lot of new ethical problems, things like robo-advice and so on.
Well, the various inquiries that have been set up, how do you judge those in terms of trying to achieve these outcomes you're describing?
Well, there's the things that the government has set up, and there's also a number of things that the bankers themselves have put in place, their own internal inquiries into the code of banking practice and into bank remuneration and so on. One has to sort of ask how successful they'll be, what they'll come up with. I think, for example, the inquiry being led by Professor Ian Ramsey into the dispute resolution schemes is a very good initiative and very important. But I think more generally, we need much more research into what drives behaviour in the financial sector and more generally in business as well.
Well, is it not the whole structure, as it's been put to me, of financial rewards? This is a structural thing. This is not sort of simply solved, as it were. The payment of commissions to advisors, planners selling products that earned them the best commission rather than selling a product that was actually suited to the consumer. Can you see, Kevin Davis, that any of these inquiries is really going to go to that big area that needs to be fundamentally altered within the banks by the sound of it?
Well, we've already got recommendations for some of those things coming out of the Murray inquiry in terms of things like ensuring there aren't conflicted commissions, requiring institutions to ensure that the products that they're designing are suited to customers' needs and so on. And so I think getting some progress on implementing those recommendations would actually be a good first step. That would take us some way in the direction of making sure that things work better.
I must say, John Williams, I just heard of a case myself, a young friend who hasn't even finished her training at university being offered a $35,000 loan by a particular one of the big banks to buy a car. And I was stunned. I was absolutely stunned, I must say. And clearly, I assume, but I don't know, there's some commission for the person making the recommendation inside the banks.
Yeah, probably there is probably the case, Geraldine. And this is look. I want to bring us back to a case of education. Someone leaves school, gets a job, might be an apprentice mechanic, might be working in an abattoir, might be going to university. And they get offered a credit card, might have a $5,000 limit. Next thing, they've maxed it out. They spend years trying to keep up to date the payments on that credit card. I think it comes back to education, saying if you're going to get the $35,000 to buy a car, as your friend has informed you, or you're going to get a credit card, you must pay it back, and in some cases with huge exorbitant interest rates.
Because it is about personal responsibility too. I mean, they're not dragooned to sign up, are they?
No, they're not. But I think one of the things we need to do in our education system is teach our people, our young ones especially, about the management of money before they actually get their head in a noose tied up with credit card debts and other debts, where it's so easy to just sign a dotted line, get your credit, then you find you've got years of financial pain because you're in too much debt.
Yes, I mean, Kate Carnell is in charge of this inquiry into looking at questionable banking practices, Kevin Davis. And she is on record as saying that, you know, in the past, the bank manager would have simply repudiated this, or you wouldn't have got past the front door. Of course, women have got very mixed views about this. But can you see in this FinTech world you're describing, are we going to get back to more personalised dealings with the banks or not?
That's a very good question. Looking forward is always the most difficult thing to do. But I think it's certainly the case that we need to think very carefully about the incentive structures and remuneration in not just banks, in the financial sector generally. That we need to be very sure that bankers are, the financial sector generally, is thinking about the customer and what's right for the customer rather than being purely profit oriented. And that's very hard in the modern society to instill that type of approach into an institution, particularly where you've got the demands of shareholders weighing on bank executives all the time.
So I just come back to the main question, and that's exactly what some people say is, to get that change that you've just so beautifully distilled there needs a big king hit like a royal commission. You don't agree?
I don't think so. No, I think there are other ways of doing it. I think we have in place. I was surprised about the issue about the car being mentioned, because one of the requirements for banks is, or for any lender under the credit legislation, is to ensure that the products are suitable for the customer. And if the banks don't do that, or if lenders don't do that, then they can run into all sorts of problems in terms of enforcing those loans.
Well, maybe they'd say that they were, John. I'm just looking at the time. Final remark for you. Are we going to continue to see calls for a Royal Commission, or is it going to go away?
Oh, we certainly will, Geraldine, especially from the Labor Party, which annoys me, where they would not back me when I backed the Greens motion last year, in June last year. Sam Dastyari, Stephen Conroy would not back me. They simply stayed on their side of the chamber. I crossed the floor and backed it. I've put my neck on the line. You know, I've crossed the floor about 10 times now in the Senate on things I'm passionate about. Okay. I think I'm just scared that perhaps the Labor Party is playing more politics, because they won't include the life insurance industry here, and that annoys me.
Okay. And annoyed. Senator John Williams and Kevin Davis, thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you.
And I again welcome your thoughts on this, because that is a very live issue, my instinct says.